Hi, welcome to the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis, and today I'm here with my guest, Sam Wilkinson. Hi, Sam. It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks. It's good being here.
Can you share a little bit about yourself and what you do for people who maybe don't know?
Sure. I am a security engineer who did Drupal for a long time. I worked for Acquia. I did a lot of open source. I worked for ThinkShout, and I maintain a lot of contrib modules. I'm like semi-retired from working on Drupal, but I go back in every time there's a new major version, make sure things are working. I wrote Tome, moderation sidebar, a lot of entity browser things, the media library in Drupal core, all sorts of stuff. But right now I'm kind of in maintenance mode overall, but still happy to be a part of the community.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it. I like that. Yeah, being in maintenance mode is a pretty nice way of putting that. Yeah, I was curious about that because I looked at the D.O. page a little bit earlier on. It says so at the top, yeah, hey, I'm sort of semi-retired or on a bit of a break from D.O. So was that just a change of scene or just too much going on? Or what was the reason behind that, if you don't mind me asking?
I think I shifted out of Drupal professionally. And when I was working Drupal in my day job, it was kind of like my mind was always running with new ideas and things I wanted to fix from work that maybe my work didn't want to pay me full time to do. And so Drupal was like a hobby and my job, which is possibly bad. But when I moved out of Drupal professionally, it was just really hard to also like log off and be like, okay, I haven't written PHP all day. I haven't done Drupal in weeks, but let's jump in. So I kind of not necessarily lost the passion, but basically like because I didn't have real problems in my day job, it was hard for me to think of new modules that weren't just like complete toy modules. Because most of the things I wrote in Drupal were addressing real problems that I had at work or for my personal site. So yeah, I realized it's not my profession anymore. It's not going to help me professionally. So I'll just be a part of the community, but kind of distant.
It's quite admirable actually that you haven't sort of walked away from it completely, but you still, you said, coming back in for major releases, making sure things still work and you're still just keeping those things up to date and making sure they still work. So yeah, I mean, I appreciate that definitely. So I'm sure others do as well. So I think it's a big problem I sort of seen with a lot of the older modules that they've sort of just been abandoned and left now and then nobody's maintaining them. So it's good to see that you're still doing that.
Yeah, I think like the backwards compatibility is getting a little better with major releases, but there was a while there with every major release. It was so hard to keep my modules up to date. Yeah, no, it's been fine. It's only like probably 10 hours of work every 6 months or something. So it's really not bad and happy to do it. I also like selfishly don't want to relinquish control of my modules. So there's like a component there where I don't really trust anyone to maintain them besides me. So there's like some color there, but.
Yeah, there's a couple that I still maintain. I maintain quite a few, but there's still a few that I've also now got co-maintainers on, and they're going in and fixing things. And I'm a bit like, oh, it's interesting. So I'm not completely against people doing stuff, but yeah, it is a bit strange when you go from just maintaining modules yourself to having other people working on them as well. Yeah, it's quite interesting. So we're going to talk about single file components today. So how did you come into to doing single file components in Drupal?
Yeah, before this call, I had to remind myself because it's kind of old. I think the first commit was in 2019. And that was around the time that I was building my personal site in Drupal. You mentioned earlier you worked on some static sites. I used to have like a static site in Jekyll, but I thought, hey, why not build this in Drupal? I had been working on Tome, which is like a static site generator. And I was like, okay, I can build a static Drupal blog without paying for hosting because I'm cheap and don't want to, maintain security updates in prod. But as I was doing the theming, it was like really bad experience for me. I didn't really like having a global CSS file. I didn't like writing libraries. Organizing Quig was really weird. Custom templates was weird. So I had been using some front-end frameworks in my free time, mostly like Vue and React. And I was just thinking, it's like, it would be really nice if I could just write Twig and then write CSS in one file. And that just popped out something that I could use. So I wrote single file components to build my personal site, essentially. So like I mentioned before, there's always like a real use case, at least for me personally. So that was the real use case. It was just so annoying kind of to do things the old way. Even now in Drupal, if you're just like, I want a custom Twig template, we'll just say that I can like render as a field format or a block. It's quite a lot of work to make that happen. So single file components is basically like, how simplified can we make Drupal theming? And also, can we address things in like a new way in terms of organizing your CSS and JavaScript and Twig?
Yeah, I've done quite a lot of Vue.js as well. And that was the first thing I looked at and went, oh, that looks very similar to what I've seen in Vue. So yeah, it's interesting that so you've got the same sort of inspiration coming from that. So what do you see the main advantages of having, of using like a single file based approach rather than having separate files?
Yeah, I think just in terms of development, what people end up doing with styling is regardless of like what you're using, you usually have class associated with each. We'll just call them like top level component. If you have a hero block, you probably have a class called like hero block. And then a bunch of styles are like cascading through that. How you can organize that with a global theme is you could write a new CSS file or a new like SAS file that gets like merged into something and then associate that with the block. But with single file components, the styling and the JavaScript and the PHP and the Twig are all in one place. So it's really easy to just open a file and know like this is 100% of what makes a hero block. There's not a pre-process and a like random theme. There's not like a strange CSS file somewhere else. It's co-located. So that's really cool. It also lets you do interesting things with meta programming where because I created the format for single file components, I can do things to the code you write. For instance, I automatically generate a library for you and render it every time you render your template. There's stuff with JavaScript where I will automatically wrap your JavaScript in that like Drupal attach Once, like all of this boilerplate we write every time when we write JavaScript, like the correct way in Drupal. So I can like do a lot of interesting things to your code. But from your perspective, you're just writing like vanilla everything. But from my perspective, I'm like, oh, cool, I can make this like really seamless for you without you even knowing. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been doing a lot of Tailwind CSS type styling for a long time, actually, and just having that, having everything in one place is definitely easier than having to sort of keep switching between different files and where's the front end code, where's the CSS or the JavaScript for this. Yeah, it's much easier to have things in one place as much as possible, and it's also something, yeah, I've quite like from the Vue.js thing. And yeah, I completely understand what you're saying. I've worked on projects where maybe there's one big SAS file, for example, that sort of acts as an entry point. It just pulls in other partials, or there's just other CSS files, and people want to change it, but then they're too scared that it's going to, if you change it, like, is it going to break everything somewhere else into some other component that I just don't know exists? So having everything, things are co-located is good too. Yeah, that reduces that risk, I suppose, of people going and making changes and not knowing the effect of it.
Yeah, of course, like you can still make mistakes, like in your single file component, you could write a global style. I've always wanted to like auto prefix your styles there, kind of like if you've used, well, CSS and JS, or if you've used the shadow DOM with web components, I'm like, oh, maybe I can just add like a class prefix to your styles. But it felt like weird from the developer experience because then you need to have a specific class in your rendered twig, and I can't really enforce that. So there's like, I've tried to think of other ways where like the styling is maybe the least magical part. Like you can still make mistakes. And of course, like people write styles in all sorts of ways. But one thing I think is cool is I feel like my styling on my personal side or sites I've used single file components on are more efficient or at least like less nested because I'm already like in the headspace of, okay, I'm just working on this one component and it's pushing me to write styles that are specific to that component and not always think about abstracting things up to a global level. Of course, that's also good, but when people reach for that and always make reusable styles, it can be really messy. It's like, oh, why'd you change the button border radius? Now it's like ruined this component I made. It's like, oh, sorry. You know, you can step on toes a lot with global styles. So yeah, I think it's made me a better developer in my personal side, but I may just be biased. So.
Another thing that, yeah, when I've done, yeah, you can be using sort of like a global style sheet for Tailwind or something, but I'm trying to think, if you're doing components in Vue, does it sort of prefix things with a certain class name? Does it pre-scope styles to just be that component in that way? I'd have to go back and check, but yeah, it'd be interesting to find out. Interesting. So how does it actually work under the hood? Because I'm looking at the module, and I can see that there's the SFC module, which is single file component. Took me a while to figure that out beforehand. And then there's a modules folder, and then there's an FFC example. So there's various things in here that I'm looking at. So where should I look if I want to find out more about like what it does under the hood?
Yeah, well, for one, just in terms of usage, I think it's really ergonomic to use, but again, I wrote it. But all you have to do is install and enable SFC, and then you can make a components directory in any enabled theme module or like the top level of your Drupal root. You can have a components folder, and then just write any file name.sfc. And then you kind of have to look at the format, but essentially you can have a template tag with your twig template, a style tag for your CSS styles, and then a script tag for your scripts. And as soon as you fill those out, this is more like technical, but a plugin driver will go and look in all those places. It will determine, okay, I know these components exist. It will provide like registered twig template. So now you can render that component as if it was a twig template. There's like a specific prefix you have to use for SFC. It also derives a theme hook for it if you want to like render it from a render array. And when it is rendered, it will pop out the CSS and JavaScript into real files that are like normal. What's really cool about that is that it's not really doing too much at runtime. It's kind of like almost like runtime build step, where it'll say, okay, I'm going to copy your CSS to like a site's files directory CSS, and I'm going to generate a library definition that points there. And then all of Drupal's normal like translation and aggregation still work. So it's not bypassing anything in Drupal. It's kind of like a weird new format that eventually pops out vanilla versions of everything. So it like feels very magical, but the end result is almost really boring because it's just normal twig, normal CSS, and normal JavaScript. So.
Yeah, I'm just looking through the examples actually, and yeah, they're all .sfc files, which is, I suppose, that comes back to that metaprogramming thing you were saying about earlier on. It's your own file format essentially, and so I'd have to
Yeah.
tell Vim how to figure out which bits are which, but that would be interesting. But yeah, there's a lot of different examples in here about blocks and controllers and everything. And I think what something that's just spring to mind is, you know, I work on a small team at the moment, and we've got some Drupal people and some more front end people. So actually, I could see them, like, this would be a lot more what the front end people are used to doing if they're working something like Vue, or I don't know whether that's the same sort of idea in React, but definitely from a Vue perspective, you know, if they're used to writing composer this way, then it's probably one less Drupalism in a way, because it's something more similar to what they're used to doing, potentially in something like Vue.
Yeah, I think one motivation for doing the metaprogramming part is that most library definitions, most Drupal JavaScript that is in like a behavior, like an attachment, it's called, is kind of the same. We're like rewriting the same sort of things again and again. So for me, I'm like, there's no value in me writing a library's YAML file if it's just going to point to a non-metified CSS and JavaScript every single time. And there's no point in me writing that and then including it at the top of my twig template. You know, that flow is the same for me. When I write Drupal JavaScript with, again, behavior attachments, it always looks the same because there's like a standard way you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to define an attach. You can define detach, but no one does that, which is kind of funny to me. And then you can have you're supposed to have a once so that it doesn't rerun on elements because some people call behavior attachments on elements that already have them. So there's kind of like best practices that happen every single time. So this module I made is kind of way to not write that boilerplate. I would say a negative is that if you go to another Drupal project that doesn't use it, you may want to use it. I won't say you'll be confused, but if you go from using SFC to not, you're gonna have to start writing library definitions or using something like single directory components or something else. So it's almost like very nice to use, but when you don't have it, it's kind of a sad. And I don't know if I would recommend mixing single file components with normal themes, but you totally can do that. It's just probably confusing to your development staff. And another negative is that it is its own file format. So I don't really have the skill or time to make a new language, server or whatever for VS Code or something like Vim, where I can auto-highlight and do all these cool things you get when things are in separate files. I do have examples for how you can maybe do some of that, but anyway, that is kind of a negative. The syntax highlighting is like semi-rough. I usually just treat the file format like HTML files because your browser can already handle like inline styles and scripts. So it just kind of works besides Twig. But those are kind of the negatives. It's like really great, but also different. So
Yeah, that was my first thought when I saw that .sfc, far from me struggling to pronounce it, is that, yeah, I'd probably put it in Vim and it would be like, yeah, what is this file type? So yeah, I'd probably say it to be like HTML sitting by default. But you'd have to then start writing treated passes or something to sort of say, like, if you're going to start doing commenting blocks, like you're going to comment differently in the view section, in the scripts versus Twig versus CSS. But it's not doable, but it would be an interesting challenge for sure. like I'd find time. That's interesting.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say one weird part of the history of it is originally there wasn't a .sfc format. You wrote PHP classes, and those classes had static variables that defined your CSS and JavaScript. And I was kind of thinking, it's like, hey, this is really cool, because if you have a component with a lot of PHP already, like a custom block, you can just throw in your Twig in a static variable, and that just renders. And I showed that to people, and they're like, this is the grossest thing I've ever seen, because now I'm writing PHP, which I already don't like, and then I'm writing those multi-line blocks that PHP can do for CSS and JavaScript and Twig. That also looks bad. So I got all this negative feedback. I'm like, oh, this is not exciting to people, and also not ergonomic, because you have to write PHP, which is way harder than just writing HTML. So
yeah, that makes sense. Just looking at one as an example format for SFC, so it's got a template tag, and then it's got some PHP below it that's doing a PHP return array thing. So yeah, that's quite interesting. I have to go through all these later on, and so yeah, get an idea of what they are. I think the point thing you said about mixing was quite interesting. So is this something that you have to sort of opt into at the beginning when you're starting to make like a theme from scratch, or something that you could sort of introduce into if you sort of inherit a project, or maybe just think, oh, we'll try this out on a project this week? Is it something you can add in later on, or something that needs to be added at the beginning?
Yeah, it is something you can add in whenever you want. And when you use it with a theme, like something has to render the single file components. They don't on their own take over everything. There is some random magic you can add for it to override other templates automatically. But I would say a better way to use it is to write like a normal theme with still your like node dash dash article dot twig, and then you just render your single file component there. So you still have to like explicitly render them in most cases. The cool thing about that is if you have an existing site, again, you can just enable the module, write a like your theme components, whatever name dot SFC, and then you're already using it. And you can treat that as if it was a twig template, libraries file, CSS, JavaScript, and pre-process all in one. So it's kind of, it can easily be added. Again, it may just be like slightly jarring to new developers to be like, yeah, some of our stuff is in this other little file. I think where it maybe shines being added to a project is defining custom blocks, field formatters, and layouts, because those often require PHP or like a lot of YAML. And single file components, I think for writing a block that basically just renders Twig, is really, really good. It's actually like a way better experience than anything else for defining blocks, I think. So there's areas where I think it can really shine even in an existing project. So.
Yeah, that's great. That makes sense. Interesting. Yeah, I'm definitely have to check this out a bit more. At the moment, my site, personal site at the moment, is using some mixture of Drupal and Sculpin, which is a static site generator. So using a bit of both at the moment. So I'm sort of evaluating moving parts of it back into the more. I'm sort of hit some of the edges of, I could do things in a static site generator, but I'm starting to think I could be easy to do this in like a full CMS. So yeah, I think now might be a good time for me to start looking at something like this if I do want to go down this road. So definitely seems interesting. You mentioned
I was going to say one last crazy thing that is in the examples, but is like really weird, is that single file components can also define backend actions inline. So this is like the last feature I added before I've like stopped working on it, or at least adding new features. But in a single file component, you can actually define backend routes with like three lines of code that you can hit from your component. So you can have one file that also has some level of backend interaction. This was like the last thing I added, and I think is really the coolest, but also the craziest. So hypothetically, you could actually build an entire Drupal site only with single file components, unless you needed custom entity types or something like that. But I think this is like really crazy and cool. What makes me excited about it is React just introduced server components recently, semi-recently, and those can also have actions. And they kind of look similar, where you have some bit of JavaScript in your React component, or at least in the file, but that's only rendered by the server. So it's kind of like an RPC. It's a random thing you can hit from Node. So anyway, single file components have that too. So you can actually define backend actions inside your component also, which is super zany. And I added last minute, but I think it feels really good. But again, if you come into a new project and see that, you're probably going to be like, what the heck is this? There are no controller files. There are just like components. But I'm kind of excited about that. I almost hope a Drupal agency or company picks those up, because I think they're really cool. It's just kind of terrifying and weird also. So.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. I'll definitely have to have a look at that. So you mentioned that was like the last thing you've added, and I think you said to me previously that it's feature complete as far as you're concerned now. So the last commit I can see in the repo was like a year or so ago. So is it feature complete? Is there anything else that you still sort of want to add to it or need to add to it at this point?
I think if it had more users, I would probably know more pain points. But most of the things I've added since maybe introducing the SFC format are just ergonomic developer things or ideas I had, like what if you could derive a block or derive a layout, which were kind of fun. But the core idea has been done for a long time. So I think it's finished. I think in production, I'm interested in like performance issues. The server-side actions are very strange. There may be security issues or performance issues there, but I don't really know because I don't use it in prod, at least in a non-static site. So yeah, if I get more users, I will definitely change things, but I'm definitely done. I think all of my modules are feature complete. I think, you know, there's always an asterisk there.
Yeah, well, yeah. There's not that many issues, open issues, and things on the most of the Drupal 11 compatibility things. So yeah, I think that's probably feature complete at this point. Yeah, I'm definitely have to look at this more and see and take it for a test drive and see how it feels. Yeah, it'd be interesting to chat to you about Tome as well. You mentioned that a few times. I've done quite a lot of work with static, quite a lot, relatively speaking, with static sites. I think. Tried to think, my website when I first started it, I started doing Drupal 2008. 7 or 8. So I think I probably started my first one probably on Drupal 6, maybe 6, then 7, and then went off on this tangent of I think Jekyll was the word at the time, I think. So I probably went to Jekyll then. It sort of moved back to different things at this point. It was on Astro quite recently, then back to Sculpin again. So I did a lot of learning with Sculpin, which is a PHP static site generator. So it uses a number of Symfony components as well. So it's sort of a cousin of Drupal 8 or Drupal 8 plus in that way, but also uses Twig and YAML, which were things I hadn't used prior to Drupal 8 coming out. So I've sort of used it as a learning thing for like how to use these things. But yeah, so it's, at the moment I say I'm sort of hitting that edge of yes, I could do this probably at the static site. I'm trying to think of some examples right now. But yeah, I've looked at Tome before and sort of thought, well, that would be an interesting sort of sort of middle ground approach as well for somebody who's a Drupal person, just very static sites. It would be quite interesting to have it do to have a Drupal generated static site.
Yeah, I think you mentioned this before, but when you use things that aren't Drupal, I've always had this, even in big companies with completely different sorts of applications. I'm always thinking, it's like, oh, you know, Drupal does this really well. Or like, Drupal already solved this problem, specifically like things like path auto or like URL aliases when you change an alias, translation, just the concept of entity types and nodes, views. That is so hard to replicate outside of Drupal. So when you use other static site generators, or at least for me, I was just thinking, it's like, this is cool, but I can't do things like, I want to add tags and I want those tags to be like a faceted search. Impossible. I have to handwrite that. Or like, how am I going to deal with like my URL aliases changing? And people that use static site generators have maybe not had that problem where they're doing a site migration. So there's all sorts of things you miss. So that was kind of why I made Tome, because I wanted to use Drupal to build a site. I also didn't want to pay for that site. I didn't want to maintain security updates. And I'm not using it that often. If you have a personal site, you basically use it to write a new blog post or maybe change your theme, and then you shut it all down or you commit if it's a normal static site generator. So with Drupal, it's like, why would I pay for hosting? Like, even if it was perfectly secure and free, like that just seems like such a waste of hardware and time when I can just spin it up locally and write some blog and then spin it down. So that was most of my motivation with Tome. Again, was my personal site. I wanted to rewrite from Jekyll and actually use Drupal for everything. So.
Yeah, I know. I've redirect is one that I'm trying to still get around. I don't. It feels a bit weird to have the static site generator generate all these empty HTML files that, with redirect headers or location headers in them. So I've got just like custom Nginx config that there's a lot of maps and redirects. So yeah, moving that potentially back into Drupal and have Drupal like redirect module handle that would be a lot better. Then yeah, maintain this custom Nginx config. And as you said, then we can I can put that anywhere really and just yeah not have to maintain this custom config. As you said, yeah, Drupal solved a lot of these problems already. So I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, one thing with Tome too is obviously there's a use case for like sites that are already static or personal sites or hobbyist sites. But if you've ever worked at a web agency and delivered things like marketing sites or one-offs or even really big professional sites that the end user never logs into, they just like send you an email to change something. Those could definitely be static. A ton of the sites I've built and delivered at companies could be static sites. It's just they aren't because, you know, Tome either didn't exist or people didn't want to use it or maybe it doesn't work for them. But, you know, there's this assumption that it's like, oh no, I need my Drupal site running 24/7. But if there's no requests to your backend that actually need PHP, if they could just be cached in a CDN, you don't really need a running Drupal site. There's like asterisks if you have multiple editors or like if you have views that have Ajax or something or any server-side filters, then obviously you need running Drupal. But you know what I mean? We've definitely all built sites that could just be static HTML pages. So.
Yeah, so I'm trying to we might have got one back in 2016, but definitely the 2017 Drupal Camp Bristol that we did. That website is still live, and it was a Drupal site at one point, but now it's a static version of a Drupal site. So it's just sat on, I think, Netlify or some sort of standard hosting thing that is now it's just HTML files. There's obviously no, the converse has happened. We don't need to update the content anymore. It's just there for as an archive essentially. So if you were to look at it, it still actually says, yeah, the generator tag is Drupal 8 because it was Drupal 8 when we built it. But now it's yeah, it's just static HTML that Drupal 8 generated at some point. So yeah, I don't, that's not quite the same as having a static site generator, but it's the same. It's a site that was Drupal and now doesn't need to be. So now it's not anymore.
Yeah,
But it
I
was.
mean, similarly, you don't have to worry about security updates. You don't have to worry about like a monthly hosting bill, or at least not a big one. So that's like such a huge draw for me. I know not all Drupal clients are cheap, but I used to build sites for nonprofits, and often like they just don't have budget. It's not like a conversation you can have where you say like, Pantheon, and I'm just calling them out randomly. It's like only, we'll just say $10. I don't know how much it is. Probably 25 or something. But that's only that much a month. It is really small for like enterprise clients, but you have two person, one person companies that are like, I can't afford that. All of my money has to go into the business or the nonprofit. So yeah, I was kind of thinking of them when I built it too. Is there's people that want to use Drupal but can't financially, or they don't have the IT staff to do security updates. So yeah, kind of use them.
Yeah, I had a freelance client a few years ago actually, and he was startup setting up a gym. He was personal trainer and went up to concept gym, so he was doing things on a shoestring budget completely. And so yeah, when I was building the site, and it was fairly static in terms of what it was doing. There were some pages for the different instructors. There was a timetable with all the different classes on and which class on a different day, and I think like the location of where it was on a map. I think that was probably about it to be fair. But yeah, we had that discussion, and it's, yeah, there's no point. We looked at paying for something like a Pantheon or a platform or an Acquia. But yeah, he just couldn't afford it because he was trying to do this thing on a budget to get the business off the ground. So we actually ended up building that one in Sculpin, and he administers the content by logging into GitHub and sort of changing the files. And it's all mostly done through YAML front matter at the top of the file. I was like, you can change the bit at the top of the file, but not don't change the bottom half of the file because that's where Twig it's doing all the looping and building up your actual timetable page. But like, if you want to add another class or something, add it into the top section. So you sort of had to learn how YAML works a little bit in order to do this. But yeah, it would have been interesting to yeah, build a Drupal site almost in a way, and then have that yeah, deployed onto some Netlify or AWS something, putting like S3 bucket or something. But yeah, although I mean, saying that, I suppose it's a bit different. For if it's me doing it for my personal site, I'd say I'm going to spin that up locally and make changes to it. If a client's doing it, like they're probably not going to do so. How would they then start administering content if they're not going to be running it up locally and there's no hosting dashboard for them to log into to log in with and start knowing how to add something?
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I wanted to address this at some point, but just didn't have time. I made like an Electron app once that kind of just packages up a lot of like XAMPP stuff into a way where you can just run your Tome sites. I think since I launched Tome, you have companies like Gitpod, and then GitHub has something called, I can't, it's not Workspaces. But anyway, there are companies that have features where essentially they spin up a Docker container and allow you to make edits to your site live. Like they give you a little VS Code in your browser, since that can be JavaScript. They give you a preview of your site, and you can commit from there. So I still think that is quite technical, to be honest, for like a content editor. But there are free options out there for just spinning up the site really quick, committing to master, and then spinning it down. And from the end user perspective, they're just using Drupal. So there's like some things there. But of course, when you work in GitHub, you have all the issues that developers have. So if you have multiple editors, you can get like merge conflicts in your content. One thing I didn't mention is like Tome can, but by default, also just store your content in files because you have to like spin down your Drupal site. So you're not going to commit a database, although you can do that too. So it stores everything as a JSON or YAML file. So you can have merge conflicts still. It's the same problems we have on our own project. So I think for a single non-technical content editor, there's like hope. But to be honest, I would say it's you probably need to be fairly technical to use it. I don't know if I would hand it off to a client without being like, your site is archived. If you need an edit, email me or something. So.
Yeah, it would be quite interesting. It's fine. It definitely has its advantages, but yeah, it would be, yeah, my client who's still administrating by adding YAML things, it's probably, I don't know if that's more technical or less technical than trying to do it the other way. But it's definitely, I can def there's definitely benefits of it. And I think I've said the same sort of thing I'd be talking to Sculpin even quite recently is yeah, performance, security, the main thing. So yeah, I'll maybe have to another look at Tome as well and see if I can get that to accept. Yeah, you get a lot of the benefits and advantages of having things like views, for example. Yeah, you don't need to go back and reinvent the wheel. And a lot of the custom things I used to write, I could probably write quicker than trying to re-implement in Twig or something, something else, I suppose.
Yes, it's really, like I said before, the reason I make these modules is because I need them usually either at work or on my personal site. So Tome was like, it works well enough to generate my personal site. When my personal site breaks, I make fixes. Of course, I have like real users now too, not that many, but a few. And yes, it's kind of driven by real usage. One thing I built is a module called Lunar, which you can use on any site, but it uses this JavaScript-based search called Lunar.js that is kind of similar to Solr. So that's kind of the joke, Solr to Lunar.
Okay.
But you can use that on any site because I needed views and search. Like I don't want to launch my personal site and not have search. So yeah, so I've like built a lot of little features onto it that were necessary for me to be happy with my site. I would say if you want to try it out, I made an install profile called Bookish, which is really cool for a lot of reasons that are kind of complex content editing wise, but it's a blogging install profile. So you can kind of get an okay looking blog that's accessible with dark mode and some like magic stuff built in. And that supports Tome really well because I kind of built it for Tome. So I would say that's a great way to start. That's in the docs for like Tome too. So you'll find it there. But
That'd be interesting. So you also mentioned it exports content, exports your content out of the Drupal site into, I think, so JSON files. So that is like, does that then get sort of reimported using something like default content module or something like that, or is it something a bit more custom?
Yeah, it's kind of funny with these modules. Like single file components predates single directory components, so it was never like why use this versus this. And the same with default content in Tome. I think Tome predates it by a few years, so it is different. How it works is it assumes that 100% of your content is always being synced to files. So when you use this module called Tome Sync, which is there by default, when you edit a node, it'll just hook into that like hook node edit sort of thing and pop out a file. And then when you set up your site from scratch, you can use this command called Tome install, and that will basically wipe your site, install the site profile. And then it'll re-import all of your content, hopefully in like the right order, which is was a tricky problem. But yeah, so it's seamless. So you as an end user don't really have to be aware. Whereas in default content, it's more for demonstration purposes, for like I want my module to have some good example content. This is more like you enable it and it starts streaming all of your stuff out, whether you like it or not. There's like very little config to change how it works, but hopefully it just works for you. So.
Have you seen all these discussions recently about a lot more people using SQLite for database? I think Laravel will just move their default database to SQLite for local development. I suppose, like, is that another option maybe instead of exporting to JSON files? Like, what about actually storing using SQLite as the main database? And I don't know, that would just be to just upload that onto the server and have it work. I don't really know how that would work actually. I've said that.
I think for single editors, I think that works really well. Where it falls apart is merge conflicts are going to be basically impossible because you're merging kind of like two binary files together. It just like won't work. So Tome is like one of the reasons it was built this way. So I'm like, how would this work if a web agency used it to maintain their site? So it can support multiple editors, with or without merge conflicts. With SQLite, I think you're just SOL. But you could ignore Tome completely, use Drupal, use SQLite, commit that, and then use something like wget recursive to just like crawl your site and pop out HTML, and you would get like a Tome-like experience with no complexity. So I think that's really cool if you can hack that. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've seen a few conversations about it. It's something to look into. I've seen a couple of videos people have pointed me at. So I need to have a look at trying to understand some of the benefits of it. But yeah, I think I can see merge conflicts definitely being an issue if we've got multiple people involved with it. And it's interesting you mentioned wget recursive. Like, is that what Tome's sort of doing underneath the hood? It seems to be a bit cleverer than that in terms of what it's doing, in terms of just crawling over the site.
I think they're like distant cousins or something like that. The main difference is, well, there's two things. One, so the module that generates static HTML is called Tome Static. The one that does the content is Tome Sync, because I realized they're like completely different things, but together you can make a static site. So the static part has caching. So that's like the biggest difference. So it uses Drupal cache tags. So if you don't edit a node, it will not regenerate the HTML for that node. So it's cache aware. So that's really big. And then the other thing is it knows your sitemap. Initially, the way wget recursive works is it's a spider. So it'll hit your homepage, it'll crawl through all the links. It won't revisit a page, which is great, but it needs to start like a tree that goes down. So it starts slow and then hopefully speeds up. Tome Static knows almost all your paths by default. It gets everything that's in a routing file, it gets every entity that's publicly accessible's path. And so it starts out with as many workers as you want. So you could spawn like 100 instances of it generating five pages each, and it will generate your site really fast. So I think it's faster and cached. The negative of Tome Static is that the performance hacks it does are sometimes bad. It generates multiple pages of HTML in one Drupal request, which is actually not normal. Normally in PHP, you like totally spin down the PHP process, then spin it back up for a new request. So there's some performance things I'm doing that actually end up with bugs, but it would be so slow to generate your site without these crazy performance things I did. So it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's very fast, but also kind of crazy. It's like a souped-up car that's going to break after the derby or something like that.
So I guess, yeah, so I guess it facilitates more Drupal away, and so you can take advantage of things like cache tags and just be able to sort of say, give me all the route to everything, rather have to go to this page links to three other pages, we go to those pages and just have it knows more, a lot more of that up front, I suppose. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I say Tome definitely been one to look at. I think I've seen definitely seen you give talks about it, or videos of you giving talks about it. I think I've seen Stephen Cross and talking Drupal. I think I saw him giving a talk about it before as well. So yeah, it's definitely something. Again, is that something that you can just add onto an existing site, or something that you have to use Bookish, or start from scratch with Tome from the beginning?
If you enable just Tome static, you can run drush tome colon static on any Drupal 8 plus site, and it will generate static HTML. Again, you may have to tweak the settings to like turn off these performance hacks. Sometimes the sites are just cached incorrectly a lot of the time, which if you've worked on Drupal, you know this always, like Wim Lears, who I used to work with, always said that cache rebuild is like a bug. Like the fact that that command or process exists is like proof that something is wrong. So many sites in production, ones I've written to, are cached incorrectly, in which case you need to tweak things. But yeah, enable Tome static and then just run drush tome colon static, and it will give you something, some version of your site. For Tome sync, you enable Tome Sync, you run Tome export, which will like pop out all the JSON. And then I don't know, on an existing site, like what do you want to do with that JSON? I actually think there's probably some interesting things you can do in CI, like rebuilding your site from scratch, maybe, or maybe it's just really cool to have things in files for different processes. But I would say Tome Sync is more like I want to spin down my database and like archive my site. So those are the two things. I think Tome Sync is also really good for migrations. So let's say you're going Drupal to Jekyll, you could just do that Tome export, and now you could write some other process that looks at the JSON and then massages it into a format you're ready for in Jekyll, or maybe even generates the site directly from that. I did that with Gatsby once, where it generated a Gatsby site directly from your Tome export. So there's a lot of like cool things you can do, but for an existing site, you probably are doing it for performance reasons. Like you want to write a static site to act more like a CDN, or for archival reasons. Like I'm done with the site, either it's actually gone completely, or I'm migrating it, or I want to generate it with Tome. So those are the two big use cases, I think.
It comes to time tonight, so you had a hard stop at the top of the hour. So anything else that you wanted to talk about while we're here?
No, I don't think so. I mean, one of the nice things about not doing this professionally and just maintaining it for my personal site is I don't really have skin in the game, so to say. Like, you can use my modules or not. I would say I'm really interested in people using single file component actions. Those are like the backend things. It's almost like an RPC. I think it's really nutty. It may be like super bad, but I want to see people use it just to maybe they say, "Hey, I'm never writing a controller again. This is like way cooler." Or they say, "This is like horrible. Here's a security issue." You know, more users is good. And without users, I'm never going to work on the projects again. So, just use my stuff or not. Yeah, that's my sales pitch. So.
That's cool. Yeah. Okay. I've already got two good things to look at: single file components and then Tome. So I'll put them on my list of things to look at, and I'll get to them eventually, I'm sure. Ever-growing list of things. But yeah, this has been a really great conversation. So I appreciate you taking the time. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Mortensen Sam. I think my D.O is Samuel.Mortensen, but I don't log in much. I'm also working on a side project called Awasync. So you can see that on my Twitter or go to awasync.com. Yeah, so those are my current cool things. But I'm not, yeah, not selling you anything Drupal-wise, at least not right now. So.
Cool. All right. Brilliant. Thanks for joining me today. And thanks, everyone, for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I'm Olive Davis.
Yeah, thank you so much.